This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron episode, what is it, 614? I'm Brian Kilby, yes. And gosh, as soon as I started the show, my voice started to give way. So this will be fun. I feel perfect. I feel great.
Yeah. Uh-oh, don't say that.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, last week, not so great. This week, pretty great. So let's get this party started. With me this week, Chris, Diecast, Matt, Don, and Rob. Jason is on the moon. John DeLuna's in New York.
I could have visited him.
Yeah, he's a few weeks late for Toy Fair.
So the boy on the Dreamwave logo is Jason with the balloons flying to the moon. I did not know that.
Dreamwave is a little bit different, Don.
Yeah, Dreamwave is a...
Sorry.
They're different, yeah. A little bit different.
I got my dreams mixed up.
Yeah.
Well, you could have gone with Dreamcast.
Ooh, yes.
That's a good mistake to make.
$9.99. We're 6 months away, less than 6 months away from the 20th anniversary of Dreamcast.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I love Dreamcast.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if we'll get like a Dreamcast classic.
No.
Beat me to it.
I think they only had like 10 games, Don, so.
They can put Crazy Taxi on it.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Sonic Adventure.
No. Soul Calibur.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm going to shut up. Talk about Transformers.
There was a bunch of good Dreamcast games.
Yeah,
there are Dreamcast games I like that other people probably would not think are conventionally good.
Wasn't Marvel vs. Capcom originally on Dreamcast?
Originally, it was in arcades, but it was
the first system it was on
Saturn.
Wasn't that Dreamcast?
No, Saturn.
Saturn.
Hmm. Yeah, it's on Saturn and Super Nintendo. It was Battle of the Gems on the Super Nintendo. Yeah, Battle for the Gems. Yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom.
Transformers.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was, though, based on the Naomi platform, which was
the
Dreamcast arcade board. And I will shut up now. Sorry.
If you shut up, we don't have a show.
This is true. You know, I know I was getting a little off topic, but I actually took out my non-Transformers stuff from what we got this week. But hell, I'm going to talk about it anyway, even though we have a ton of news this week. I went to Edward McKay and I got a Cisco doll from Trials and Tribulations.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you go to the one in Greensboro, Brian? Or no, you got one closer to you?
Winston. Winston's closer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got that. And I also got a 6-inch Michael Knight, David Hasselhoff figure. I don't know why.
Did you get kit with it?
No. I bought a bunch of stupid stuff on eBay. And this was
what else is new?
Yeah, I know, right?
Now you need to go back on eBay and get a kit to go with your Michael Knight figure.
Yeah, I really do. Hey, lots of stuff going on. Do we have the TFCon thing in the news? I don't think we do.
No.
I want to talk about that. So TFCon, I was going to say TFCon USA 2019 was this past weekend. But it turns out it's TFCon USA West Coast, and in October. TFCon is returning to the U.S. in Reston, Virginia, outside of D.C., which I thought was a great venue, location.
It was a great location.
I love that location.
Now, TFCon USA Charlotte, which is 20 minutes from my house, a little bit better.
Yeah. That was a great location.
The dealer room was larger there.
Yeah, and it's 20
minutes. That was the only problem with the Reston, Virginia one. It's the DC, the dealer room was kind of cramped.
Yeah, the dealer room was cramped. But Charlotte, 20 minutes from my house. Just saying.
That was the one that gave us free alcohol, too. So. Yeah,
Reston is 2 hours away from my house.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should come to Nashville 1 year.
I think so. I really do. But I'm excited because I think most of us are going to try to go. Hopefully we can figure it out. It'd be awesome. TFCon's a great convention. This may change people's plans. I know some people would plan to go to TFCon proper in Canada.
Oh no, we're still going.
Is Diecast still going? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just never have money for anything else ever again afterward.
Okay.
So, well, you know, that's how you know you've been on a convention trip.
Yep.
But this will be our first convention as a group in a couple of years, as a mostly a group. Actually, no. Yeah, last year most of us got together here at my house, which didn't really count.
Didn't it? I mean, it's a convention. Like, went to Toys R Us, and
it totally didn't count.
It wasn't a convention. No. Not as a convention. But, yeah, TFCon, I think that changed some of our plans. I think we were trying to do another RSCon this year, but not TFCon's happening. And there's, you know, dealer stuff there, and I can get a Guard City.
I guess I'll go to Sushi Train by myself next week, then.
Yeah. 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 But that's,
you know,
exciting.
Don, they have things there that aren't sushi. Like, if you like general, you know, Chinese-style food, you can order stuff off of an all-you-can-eat menu for that, and it's, like, hot and fresh and really tasty.
Yeah.
There'd be stuff that you'd like.
Well, see, the problem with Chinese food is that they don't cook their vegetables properly, and I don't like crunchy vegetables. I like my vegetables cooked like this, like in the South. You know,
you like death, your butter. Vegetables that if they're out of an aluminum can is basically what you're saying.
That's what he's saying. Yes.
No, I want them cooked. Yes, I want them fully cooked, not crunchy and raw.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell Don's an old Southern boy.
Yeah. I put chili on my hamburger. You damn straight.
Oh God, I was talking to Kim about that this past week. I'm like, Don doesn't know how to eat a hamburger without chili on it. And she's
no, there's no point in it. It's like sitting down at a table and not having silverware and you have soup. I mean, you can't eat it, but I mean, you make do.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, not having chili on a hamburger isn't the end of the world, but it's a lot poorer for it.
It'd be a lot more difficult to eat chili without silverware than it would be to eat soup without silverware. I'm just saying.
This is true. So
I just make correctly.
I just remember the trip to Five Guys Burgers and Fries where Don was astonished that they didn't have chili, so he went and suggested it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's a burger chain, and they don't have chili for a hamburger. I'm sorry.
To see Don opine on things like chili on burgers and Brexit, follow at HMRCE for EVR.
If I ever lose my job, I'm going to go down to Don's for like a month and just follow him and record him and put it on YouTube.
Oh, hell no. We're
going to need to engage a second camera crew to follow Diecast so that we get the violence from an objective angle.
Yeah, that's true.
And that'll be the only way you can find the body, because I know where all the heels and hollers are at.
Yeah, okay.
That'll be good YouTube.
Yeah, it would be. So let's go ahead and talk about stuff we got this week. I want to go ahead and start on that Edward McKay trip. I got a few things. I got a Rescue Bots or Cyberverse Rescue? That's Robots in Disguise, I think. Bumblebee. It's like the one step changer. It was like $3. I got the Rescue Bots Chase figure, the first version, which apparently, you know, this is the harder to find version. It was like $3. They didn't know what to call it. They said General Transformer. I got my first and hopefully only Star Wars Transformer. It was labeled just as Star Wars, but I saw it and it was a Transformer. It's the Mace Windu. It's horrible. Huh. Also $3.
Was it opened or?
Yeah, it was like in a bag.
Okay.
Also in a bag, Combiner Wars Wheeljack.
Oh.
Just the figure. $3. I already have it, but you know, now I've got
Toy Hacks has some really nice sticker sets for that.
Keep that in mind.
You already have one.
Also at Edward McKay's, it was a few dollars cheaper than Amazon, and I just happened to cross it. Is the Transformers Rhino, or pardon me, Shout Factory Japanese collection?
Oh, cool.
I now have the Japanese collection from Shout Factory.
Yeah, which one? Master Force Victory.
The collection.
Okay. They released them individually, too. Okay. Yeah, I've forgotten they did a full box of all three.
I assume calling it the collection would be, you know, fairly obvious that it was more than just Transformers series, because
I didn't realize
you
wouldn't really
call one series a collection.
Well, you would be a collection of all the episodes in the series.
Yes, it would. Okay. So at Walmart yesterday, for the second time, I came across the Optimus Prime reissue. It didn't have a price on it, and the other reissue stuff was on clearance. And this Walmart didn't have any price scanners. It's a tiny little Walmart. And,
weird.
Yeah, I know. Not any I could find. I checked end caps. I looked all over the place. So I went to just buy it, and it was $49, but I can say I now have it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was told by someone that works there that they're going to the app that has all the prices on it or something like that. I'm not sure how accurate that is.
That works like you put in what your local store is, and then you can scan barcodes, and it's supposed to give you prices on stuff.
That makes sense.
I think.
Yeah. So that way you can check while you're there and not
walk. But I don't want Walmart on my phone. I don't want Walmart in my town.
I use Walmart grocery pickup, and it's great. So I have the app. I got the Generations book. It finally came. Right. And then Matt got his as well. I hate to say this, but I'm going through it. I mean, yes, there is stuff exclusive to this, but I'm like, I've got so many books that has pictures of Transformers in it. Now I have another one. Yeah. But this has stuff in it.
You know who has the best pickup? Home Depot. They have lockers now, and you just go in and it lets you take your order directly from the locker, and you don't have to speak to a person.
Okay. So,
in the culture we're developing, that is a very valuable offering.
Well, one of the Walmarts near my aunt's has the big self-service tower that you walk in. It's like a giant Vendomatic.
I don't.
And you go in, and it. All your orders are in that thing, and you get it yourself.
You know what?
Transformers.
Yes.
I kind of wish there was some place nearby that had the Amazon lockers.
Oh, you have Amazon lockers.
I'd like to try that just once.
And other places have lockers too, Diecast. Not just the big orange place.
But they're awesome.
But it's orange, so it's good.
Okay. Yeah.
So during the show last week, I made a purchase, and I got, I got my God Neptune. I've been wanting this for years.
All right. And it will eventually be my God Neptune.
No, it won't. And it's beautiful.
Well, if that ever comes to your house again, it will eventually be his God Neptune.
So I got that, and Chris had, we were talking about me getting, was it Shockwave, but you know, whatever the Tidal Wave's designation is from. So I put that in my save list. Then I went in and decided that I went through my rebuy list, and then I did a save search for every single toy on my buy and rebuy list. Rebuy list meaning things I've parted with over the years that I regret. Now I have like 45, you know, emails in the morning. Reminding me of things that I want to get. And next week I'm going to have more stuff to talk about. I've already shown Diecast.
Did you find the Shockwave?
Not for a price I'm willing to pay.
Okay.
But something I wanted to get, and I saw it at Selfish Comics in Winston-Salem this weekend, and I skipped it because it wasn't complete. I bought it on eBay because I was able to get a complete one for just a hair more. I finally got I already had one, but it wasn't complete. It was missing all the accessories. But now I have a complete G1 Scorponok that I've wanted.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So I had the body, but now I just have the whole thing. So I say it was complete. It was missing Fast Track's left arm, which I was easily able to find on eBay. So yeah. And I have more stuff coming next week. Yeah.
See, for me, I'm not interested in any of the G1 stuff anymore. That's like, fine. Even though I got all the Toys R Us reissues of the G1 stuff that they did, I'm just not interested in any of the old G1 stuff.
I'm interested in G1 stuff, Beast Wars stuff I'm missing, Unicron Trilogy stuff I'm missing.
There's select G1 stuff that I think would be fun to have, but like in general, I'm not out looking for G1 toys to buy. There's just like that select few things, and it's stuff I'm probably never going to have because it's all going to be bigger ticket items.
Yeah, and there's like five or six retail generations figures that I don't have that I'll hopefully probably have by the end of the month. So I can say that I have a complete generations collection of retail stuff. You know, it doesn't include all the BotCon stuff because I skipped a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I think that's it Transformers wise this week.
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
I got another box of the Transformers Rise of the Combiners.
Nice.
I didn't get a chance to open it yet, but I'll probably do a video of that. That's actually why I didn't get a chance to open it, because I want to do a video of it. I got the Zeta Toys bar set. This was that thing we saw a little bit ago for the Legend size figures. And it also has like a Decepticon throne. The weird part is there are no instructions with it, and the throne takes batteries, but I don't know what kind of batteries. They're button cell, obviously, but I don't know.
There's what not a cell. Battery code in the compartment?
No. So I'm totally lost. So if anyone has this and knows, hit me up on Twitter at diecast2. Because I would like to put the batteries in the throne just to see it light up.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a cool set. I don't know that I would pay U.S. retail for it, because U.S. retail is like $40.
Really?
Yeah. But I think I paid like 20 or 25, you know, through Taobao. So it was worth it.
Yeah, from what I remember of us talking about that when it popped up, I thought the retail on it was supposed to be about $25.
Yeah, I got the Catapult, which is one of the Zeta jets.
That box is huge.
Yeah, it's
airplane.
But it's an airplane. It's the fourth one. So I have one more to go before I can make Superion. This one, I got another Hoodlum.
Why?
Because I usually get I usually get two of the fans.
Because I was on the fence about him, and it's just, I don't know.
I don't need it.
Mm. Yeah. I've got Carrie. I'm good on Hot Rod Rodimus Primes.
I got Matt's Christmas waste gasket, because I didn't put it in the mail yet.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I just got to mail it to him. And then I also got a regular waste gasket, or waste gas, which is nice. The
Slicer.
Exhaust.
Yeah.
Exhaust.
Yeah, the exhaust, the regular exhaust with, you know, no
Christmas
paint application decor. Off, like the like Takara had.
Hey, so real quick, we were talking about like what we collect, you know, like what we prefer, G1, third party, you know, official stuff. And I said for the most part, third party doesn't interest me. That is one area that I really like about third party. Is all the legend scale stuff. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, where third party really excels. And I've always said that that's the scale of figure that I love the most.
Yeah, I
and if you're listening to the podcast episode version of this, go back to the YouTube video and check out our pre-show conversation more details.
It will not be there.
I did not like the legend scale stuff
Lost when Forever.
It first started coming out, but they didn't really, for me, they really didn't hit their stride until about a year or two in, and then it got nice. It got real nice. And there's a lot of good companies doing legend scale figures right now.
And I like that with third party stuff and the legend scale, I'm assuming that there's a lower cost of entry for people. So it's, you know, it's less of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing I got was the special edition Striker Mantis, which comes with all the weapon kit that the Nemesis came with, which is pretty cool. And it also came with an instruction sheet for the new one and for the Nemesis, I'm assuming, because you may have to put some of the guns together. I didn't look at it that hard. I took it out of the box and put it back in the box. I haven't had time to mess around with it. But this is really cool. And I also ordered, like Don, I ordered the blue one, the Dioclone reference Striker Mantis one that was the special at TFCon this weekend. And because I have everyone except the black, I went ahead and ordered, but I actually ordered a KO black one because it was like $35 on a Taobao. So I'm going to have every color of this mold. This is my new, I have to get every color of the mold.
Boy, but you're glad Chinese New Year's over with.
Yep. Yep. And that's all I got this week.
That's all.
That's all.
Yeah. That's all. Chris, you get anything?
I'm taking a break this week.
Matt, I know you got stuff.
I was going to take a break this week, but you know, my Transformers Generations book came in.
What do you think?
So, I like it. Like you, you know, I have books with pictures of toys in it already, but this actually has some neat concept art in the back and some character models, including combiners with capes.
Yes,
which is always wonderful. And it came with a bookmark in it for some reason that I'm not entirely certain of, but they know me so
well. They won't lose your place.
Well, they found my place because the bookmark opens to a picture of Thunderclash.
I threw that away. I didn't understand the point. I thought it was just something that got inserted to it, like there was a receipt or something.
Almost all Japanese books come with those.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the other side of the bookmark, the Obliterators. So, yeah. They knew who they were selling this to. But, I mean, it's got really nice, crisp, clear pictures of all the toys. I'm happy with my purchase. I wish I could read Japanese, but, you know.
What was the first source book like that? Cybertronian?
Probably. Quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah. The one that was Doug Glenn and Howard Techintz, or I guess Howard and Doug, depending on how you look at it.
But it does go into, like, the Euro G1.5 or whatever characters. So, like, I'm hoping somebody from the design team ordered this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, there are other characters.
I'm sure
other characters exist.
I'm sure that, yeah, I'm sure that's like in the Hasbro library, but nobody just goes there because, you know, they're too busy watching season two. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I like it. It's just going to go back on the shelf. Actually, I also got the Mark Bellamo G.I. Joe book as well. Not that.
I had that.
I didn't have, I didn't pick it up before. I got his Transformers book. Again, just another bunch of Transformers pictures that don't need, but the G.I. Joe book though I think is pretty great because it's really complete from everything from like 82, 83, whatever to 94, and I don't have as complete a G.I. Joe collection, so Don.
Yeah, I got this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell people what it is?
Oh, it's Siege War for Cybertron Starscream. I don't know. It's just I saw him and Soundwave, and it's like I would like to have one of the two, and pretty much
you chose
Boy. Because I just bought the Target Soundwave not long ago. I don't need much more Soundwave in my life.
Sure you do.
But I don't have a Transformer that looks like a Colonial Viper. So that was a good reason for me to get Starscream, because I don't plan on getting any more of this mold unless maybe like Prowl, when there's no battle damage, maybe on the future waves the battle damage will get lighter or something. I don't know. It's kind of weirdly desirable, but I don't know why.
It's the Underbase Saga Starscream.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll call him that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that
a few weeks ago.
A week or two ago.
Yeah,
I'm old. I don't remember a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, other than that, it's been a virtual desert around here finding anything. Although the local Walmart got in apparently at least six cases, because the Bumblebee Optimus and the Rampage are what, two per case, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the Voyagers come in cases of two now. They used to come in cases of four, I think, but they got downsized to twos, at least with Titan's Return, if not Combiner Wars. So it's a Rampage and Optimus per case.
Hey, so
so they must have gotten in about six cases, because there's like ten Rampages and two Optimus Primes left.
So real quick, Chris pointed that out. This is a retail thing again. You know, I've spent most of my career in retail, like strategy and process design and stuff. When it comes to like manufacturers, they have some control over things like distribution, but really it mostly, this conversation that we've had in the past, most of it comes down really to the retailer and their own supply chain. That's one area where that's a lever that Hasbro can pull. If they have a smaller case, that means that they have more like higher velocity items can go through, and they don't necessarily shelf warm as much. And they can potentially work through the retail supply chain quicker with the smaller case, you know, assortments. So,
maybe they should knock the Luxes down to cases of four. Then
they should, but that's a way that Hasbro said that they were working on trying to improve, selection in the store. That's one way that they tried to do it. So,
well, and didn't we find out this year finally that for sure, special retail outlets would be able to order
supposedly
solid cases of specific toys. Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly. Rob, anything? Did you get anything?
Not a thing.
Okay. Since I have time to kill. I don't. I got one more thing. At Edward McKay's, $20, I got a Glockenspiel.
Oh, what?
Oh, nice.
The Glockenspiel.
What?
It's like a xylophone, but the xylophone, the keys are made of wood. A glockenspiel, they're made of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty awesome. I wanted one so bad.
I hope you have fun with your glockenspiel.
Okay.
It's as much fun to say as it is to play.
All right. Well, someone needs to add Lederhosen to Brian's Amazon wish list. Then
I don't want to see that. Do you?
I was able to take this. I was able to take this off my Amazon wish list when I found one of Edward McKay's. I almost bought one of these like 3 weeks ago. I love it. It's the best thing ever. Glockenspiel.
It's just so hard to imagine the day to day existence of Brian.
I know, right? It's so great. $20. I was checking out, and it was beside the register, and I walked out, and I'm like, I'm coming back and buying that. And I dropped my bags off in the car and came back.
I think Brian's existence is as close as you're going to get as to the world that exists in my head.
Oh, God.
You know, that's as close as I think it'll get as a physical manifestation of some of the world inside my imagination. So,
yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
Is it?
No, yeah. I need to backtrack.
Rethink
a little bit.
Your life.
Yeah. Okay.
Mistakes have been made.
So let's go ahead and jump to the news. So I want to start off with something really sad. Larry DiTilio, who was one of the showrunners for Beast Wars, along with several other shows he worked on, passed away at age 79. Larry was actually the first interview that we ever did back in 2000, like February of 2000 or so. Awesome dude. And one of the reasons that Beast Wars is still the high watermark for Transformers fiction, you know, today. Really sad. Hate to hear it. He'd been sick for a while. He is literally one of the reasons that we have Transformers today. If it wasn't for Bob and Larry, Transformers today would be a very sad, dark thing. And, you know, we're here because of those guys. So, our thoughts go out to the DiTilio family. So we made fun of this last week. The Transformers exhibit, how sort of sad that it seemed to be. But it's the Parco exhibit in Japan.
It's really not.
It's awesome. There's so much stuff there, but in what we knew before, it was sort of hard to make that out. But there's so many things. Is that the wooden prototype for Galvatron?
Yes, it is.
Holy crap! That's awesome.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Oh my god, that is so great. So this is a picture of Godzinrai. It's not concept art, or is it concept art? Because
a lot of different sources of art in there, so I'm not really sure which one you're looking at, to be specific.
Okay. Headmaster's art, I mean, just so much stuff in the way of art that was pulled out of the archives, just pieces. This is amazing. I would kill to... Oh, more prototypes. I would love to be there.
Yeah,
so I take back everything I said last week about this being sad. This is pretty flippin' amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the art, like the Japanese box art and the paintings and stuff, is, you know, not that the American stuff wasn't dynamic, but I think the art on the Japanese boxes is just a little more dynamic.
The Japanese had a lot more experience at this point with selling robot toys and doing package art than we did, frankly.
That's true.
I think so far, I think the Lyle Kaiser artwork is my favorite because it's just so dynamic, you know.
Yeah.
Separate art fire. There's just so much stuff here. Hey, Don, so right now we're looking at a picture of Grand Maximus. Is that the box art? Can you see that on my Skype screen?
Let me see. Hang on.
I may not be sharing it.
Yeah, you're not sharing your screen.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that is.
Okay.
I believe that's... Because I can go look real quick just to make sure, but I don't think it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, some of the stuff though is just absolutely beautiful. Yeah,
a little ways in, there's also like wood design masters for the Combaticon heads.
I saw that. Yeah, this.
Oh, and the Seacons art from Master Force. That's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Number 29.
I posted so many pictures from them, I feel like I should mention that these all come from Autobase Aichi's Facebook page, incidentally.
Yes.
Yeah, go give him a like.
Please.
And a follow on Twitter,
too. Matter
of fact,
this, yeah, I was about to say, matter of fact, this is multiple albums, so give them all likes.
Mm. This is just...
It's beautiful. Yeah, I just...
Oh, I'm prototype six shot.
Just exceedingly pleased with this. And they're, you know, their official, their toys there. Like Black Zarak, and I forgot who it was on Twitter pointed out it was nice seeing one of those. It isn't like a bag of sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which honestly scared me with My God Neptune. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is King Poseidon the same just paint apps that we have
King,
for?
King Poseidon is
just the G ones. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a lot of the Master Force crossover stuff ended up being fairly close. If not identical.
I just don't need to get the club C-cons. Just waiting for, you know, a sub $200 price.
Right.
Sometimes it'll sell for like $100. I've been studying eBay this week, getting caught up with an old friend.
We saw it for $100 at BotCon and...
I didn't buy it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I'm stupid. Just so much stuff
sometimes.
Here. Yeah, just go to T-Formers, follow the link, just look at it. It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, you can try tformers.com/34885. I think our short link code still works.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we never use it. I think Jack programmed that in like 2 years ago, and we just have never used it.
Yeah, I didn't know about it. I would totally use that. Okay, so Siege, Voyager, Starscream, there's a running change. They added, a pin to the chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
apparently...
So what was going on with that before? So I wasn't familiar with what was happening with that figure.
So the initial ones have just a friction hinge.
Okay.
And it's not like the initial ones just were sent out without having the pin inserted, because the gray hinge arm does not have any holes in it. It actually has nubs to fit into the openings on the chest plate itself. So this was a running change fairly early in the production, if it's showing up in stores already. They would have had to put a hole through that hinge piece to get the pin to go through in any meaningful capacity. So somebody noticed pretty quick that that piece was falling off, and
there's Don's.
The initial units got packaged and sent out. And
I've yet to see Siege Starscream, so yeah, that's pretty quick.
Fortunately, you'll probably be able to tell looking at it in package whether it has the pin in there or not. Because the way the window wraps around the side, you should be able to get an angle on that and see.
Ah.
Yeah. I had seen reports where it was a running change, or it was a custom and being presented as a running change. So I didn't know which way it was going when I found this. But now I'll keep my eyes open and see if I see a pin one, because this thing does really, it really pops off pretty easily right off the... you know, basically you can lift it.
Does.
You know. All I did was lift it up, and you can already see it's even just lifting it up normally is wanting to pop off those nuts.
I just hope Hasbro Pulse gets these in soon, because that's what I've been waiting
on.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, they are probably going to hold the April 1st shipping date, because that's probably what they're holding the other online retailers to. Based on how their practices have been over the last few years. So I don't think Hasbro Pulse is going to break that unless they end up
do that. They should
lifting it for everybody.
If there's no street date through retail, there should be no street date through the online carriers.
Well, there's not a street date in the traditional sense, but there is an enforced on sale date for the toys, which seems to partly be a concession to the brick and mortar retailers to give them a shot at getting product out and available before the much easier online access becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Brian, don't look at your save searches on eBay. Look away.
But what if you miss the Micron Legend Tidal Wave at a fair price while you're doing a show and not looking at your save searches on eBay?
That's a good point.
If anything, you should check more often to make sure you don't miss it.
$135 for best offer.
No, they're not going to take a fair offer for that.
No, I mean, $135 is the price.
Best offer. So they're not going to take.
I would never do the best offer. I don't like rejection.
$135 is too high.
Yeah, here's somebody else selling it for $330.
And they will be for quite some time.
Yeah. Okay. Moving along.
The way I look at that, Brian, is that if they're not willing to sell it to you at the price you want, you're the one rejecting them. So.
Oh, yeah. You're smart. $50. Okay. First look, Transformers Ghostbusters number one shows Team Megatron, Starscream, et al. Crimzy.
So the first few pictures in there is stuff we've seen, but then there is like four pages of textless actual interior pages where it appears Starscream is pulling the Stay Puffed in this instance. And also Megatron just swats a terror dog aside.
Nice. Also, the cover with the Crimzeeks on it, it's not mentioned here, but that is by Andrew Griffith, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah, just wait for it.
I'm pretty sure that's...
There you go.
Hope I did not get that wrong.
I don't know. I'm not as excited about this as I am, like, you know, was the Star Trek Transformers crossover.
Well, it's just the first issue.
Yeah.
It's got promise, and... I'm just impressed that these guys have really adapted to Transformers pretty well, which not every team that you know does a non-robot book can do.
True. I love Ghostbusters. It's like my favorite movie, but I just don't know that I needed to see it with Transformers.
Well, maybe you'll change your mind by the time the fifth issue comes out, or not.
Or not. Maybe if it were the real Ghostbusters or the Filmation Ghostbusters. No, maybe not. Okay.
What about Star Trek the Animated Series crossing over with Filmation's GoBusters?
I would read the hell out of that.
Filmation's GoBusters?
No, Ghostbusters. I know. Oh, okay. I kind of screwed up the S on there.
That's okay.
Although Filmation's GoBusters would be really interesting to see.
Yes.
hey Diecast, did you read this one? You want to talk about it?
Yeah, we got a new starter pack coming for Transformers trading card game.
Let's play this at TFCon.
Yes. And it's going to have Bumblebee, Windblade, Starscream, and Megatron character cards. These cards are not going to be the same as any other Bumblebee, Megatron, Starscream card that's currently out there right now. Even if you have a starter pack, you can still pick up this starter pack because it's going to be new character cards.
Who sells this at retail? I know Target sells the Transformers card game. Does anybody else?
Did anyone see it at Walmart or no?
I've been looking. I
did see it at Walmart when I was going through the registers. It was up there with their collectible stuff, like all the blind boxes and that was up there. And I did see it on a Sidekick at Target, hanging on the end of one of their little metal racks that are at the end of the shelves.
Yeah.
So I have seen it both places, just not recently in either one.
Okay.
I saw it at Walmart a few weeks ago, but I haven't been through those registers again.
I think this is a really good thing to do for the game because you're constantly going to have a starter pack out there. And I don't know how other card games, because I've never gotten into any other card games, I don't know how they do it, but this is really smart to rotate a new starter pack every once in a while.
Hey, do you think at HasCon they're going to have a Transformers card game learn to play panel?
Has what?
Yeah, never mind.
At the next one, yes.
Yes,
definitely.
The next one in heaven.
No, it'll be, you know, it's to be announced. Further details coming.
I think my favorite part of HasCon, though, was Kim and Diecast trying to learn to play Magic the Gathering together.
Yeah, I would much rather learn to play this than Magic the Gathering. I'm holding out for another HasCon. I really am hoping that they're going to do it
again. I'm still holding out for another Shardacon, but I don't think my chances are yours are any better.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Sadly, I think that I just get the feeling the chances of HasCon are slightly higher, but not a lot.
Yeah. I would disagree. I think it's up there, and I think if we're not going to get that, there would be a push for some other type of official conventions.
I would probably go to a HasCon if they had one again, just in the hopes of seeing like those really awesome Power Rangers props displays.
Oh yeah, I forgot, Matt. Were you at the first one? I can't remember.
No.
Okay.
Oh, they had some of those out for Toy Fair.
Well, yes, I think that's where Matt's getting the idea from.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They could borrow that Megazord suit again, you know.
Yeah, and that you could tell that was the original, like that thing.
It wasn't the original. They made a new Daijujin suit for Gokaiger movie, I think, in 2013. So it would have been that one. The original
is crumbled to pieces.
The original is either standing in a museum in Japan somewhere permanently, and reinforced and whatever to make it where it's not going to deteriorate over time anymore. Or, yes, it is pieces in a garbage dump somewhere.
Here's something I'm really excited about. Our buddies, Jim Sorensen and Bill Forster, are going to have a new book. Is this one, was it Zim or Vim? I'm confusing. It's confusing, whatever it is. It's a different publisher, The Art of Transformers.
Oh, Viz, I think.
Viz. It. Yeah. I'm thinking of beverages from Fallout or something. I don't know.
I only remembered because I saw, you know, their tweet about it, and that really kind of surprised me because just seeing a non-IDW Transformers art book was weird just for starts.
So this is like official unused things. Like the first thing they showed in the panel, or at least that we have a photo of, are Combiner Wars GoBots. Was that actually a thought at some point?
I guess I'm gonna note, looking at these slides, there's some BotCon unused BotCon things in here.
Yeah, that looks more like BotCon concept.
That's what I'm thinking.
I love it. Yes, I would kill for that.
Animated Sky Gary.
Yeah, is that based off of Megatron from Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, animated.
Animated? No, from animated.
Oh. Yeah,
but it's not like there's a huge difference between those designs.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Corey Burton, so awesome.
He did a great job.
He was so great. There's so many neat things in here. I can't wait to get this book. This is stuff, you know, like we're talking about the Generations book. I've got so many books of stuff like that, but things that we've never seen before like this. That's my jam. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to have the Super Fire Convoy that Don wanted? That was the going to be hot spot. There's so many crazy things in this. Ajaxis.
There's Art of Bot in here.
Art of Bot.
G2 animated Swindle.
That's insane.
That just hit like every tick mark for me.
Oh, and Overlord from the Blitzwing mold. That would have.
Yeah, animated Blitzwing.
Animated Overlord.
Yeah, but it was Blitzwing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bot himself. There's so many cool things in this. So, yeah, definitely picking this up. Yeah. It says out by the end of the year. So that's definitely a purchase.
We need to stay updated on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Oh, God.
No, this is a good one.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess it depends on how you define good.
And Link's not working for me.
It's really stupid, is it not?
Chris, well, tell us about it. What is it?
No, go down to the second line. It works from there.
Okay.
Yeah, works for me.
So, Transformers movie producer, and I'm not going to pronounce it. I never get it right.
Lorenzo de Bonaventura.
Yeah.
He's still talking.
Yeah.
Sadly.
He says a lot of things.
He never stops talking.
Is this the story where he's talking about how Beast Wars couldn't be made as a movie?
No, I skipped that part.
Okay.
That's just like a total non-starter.
So, basically, I've heard different things. I've heard that The Last Knight's getting a sequel. I've heard that the next movie's a reboot. I've heard so many different things.
Yeah,
and he says he doesn't know what interview.
Yes, you've heard that he doesn't know what a reboot is.
But that also that the next movie is going to be a reboot.
Yeah.
And it's going to have more Bayism? Is that how they say it?
Okay, so he's saying there's going to be a sequel to both the main movie continuity, which would be the sequel to The Last Knight, theoretically. And also, there's going to also be a Bumblebee 2. These are separate things that are going to happen. Bumblebee 2 is supposed to have more Bayhem, proving that he has no idea what actually made people kind of like Bumblebee besides, you know, the good writing, the good directing, the characters, and, you know, the interactions that were portrayed between them, but also the lack of, you know, bait nonsense.
Mayhem. But there was something missing in that.
No,
I don't know if it was the comedy side or there was something missing in Bumblebee that I walked away and I was like, yeah, it was good. It was a good family movie, but it wasn't It just
it was garbage. It wasn't what it should have been.
Misogyny is the word you're looking for, Diecast. It was missing the misogyny.
It was missing some humoristic elements that, you know, I think if they combine the two, it would be a great Transformers movie.
Humoristic.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so that's a thing. So we got a sci-fi, I think it was, shared a clip of an deleted scene from the Bumblebee movie where, what was the character's name? I can't remember. He said that Bumblebee was a GoBot.
He guessed. He was like, maybe it's a GoBot. It was a dumb scene. I watched it. It was not very good. I know why they cut it out of the movie.
I don't really put much stock in your opinion, Diecast.
You know, I would have liked it if Bumblebee had had like a better response when he said it. You know, like if he'd have been offended, but he wasn't.
Bumblebee just would have backhanded him.
Yeah. Like, you know, Bumblebee could have made a sound effect or something, but no, it's funny. I love the fact that in this world, GoBots are a thing. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, Alf's a thing too, so.
That's true.
All the things in the 80s except Transformers were still things on TV in that movie.
G.I. Joe.
No, that's probably a thing.
Yeah, probably.
No, I think Hasbro's completely forgotten about that at this point.
So, that's true. So Diecast has been sharing this everywhere. This photo that popped up, I guess, at TFCon, that's a Unicron holding one of the 55 Bruticus combiners.
Holding 2/5 of a Bruticus combiner.
So the implication being that it's 1-to-1 scale with a person, which I don't believe.
You know how many pieces they'd have to sell that in?
Yeah.
It's a tease for a Unicron. We don't know what company. We don't know if it's being made. We don't know if it's a Transformer or if it's just a figure. We don't know anything, but it's Unicron, so it's worth mentioning because we haven't gotten a third-party Unicron yet, and by God, it's about time.
I don't care.
You know, Diecast, I mean, I'm glad. I hope this pans out for you.
Yeah.
I mean, for everybody that wants, if it does transform, that would be nice. If not, maybe they're doing like the Flame Toys route and making a highly articulated figure. But this is only.
Okay, wait. Could you imagine trying to transform a figure roughly human sized into a ball?
I have a terrible thought that I am not going to share. But there are people who already do that, and they cost about $5,000 each, and I'm going to move along.
I would say this would be about...
I was just going to liken it to murder.
I think it would be about the size of my... what's that prime that I got?
Lewin?
The Lewin? Yeah, I think it would have to be about the size of that. Small toddler, which, you know, that I think that's right on the money.
For the size and cost of this, it better tell me that it loves me after. That's
it
all I'm going to say.
Probably will. I mean, you know, in Orson Welles' voice.
God almighty. Let's TFRadio.net/Amazon. You can buy love.
If they made this and they programmed it, if they loaded it with Orson Welles' complete Frozen Peas dialogue, might be onto something.
Yeah, you can buy. Yeah. I'm certain you can buy canned peas at Amazon, TFRadio.net/Amazon. You can buy whatever.
I think you'll buy frozen peas.
Maybe.
Well, I've never dry ice is a thing.
I've never bought frozen food from Amazon.
Yeah, I just bought small scissors on Amazon during the show for my to cut the Autobot stickers out.
Awesome, Diecast
stickers.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Well, the important thing that you take away from this segment is that you give peas a chance.
Okay, Don. I let you say that, but it adds nothing to the Amazon plug, so I regret it. TFRadio.net/Amazon. You can buy stuff, whatever.
Get your Siege Omega.
Yeah. TFRadio.net/Siege Omega, Jetfire's TFRadio.net/Siege Jetfire, Studio Series Optimus 38, SS-38 is TFRadio.net/SS-38. You can buy anything.
Yeah, you know, even if you're not sure you want to get Omega Supreme immediately when it comes out, it's still worth putting in pre-order now in case Amazon drops the price $10 or $15.
Absolutely.
You know, you'll get at that lower price no matter what if you keep that pre-order then.
Unless you have 2 TF cons to go to this year.
This is true.
In case you're not buying anything.
Well, yeah, that's a challenge. That is definitely a challenge.
You know, what? Like, I know with, like, God, I hate myself. I know, like, baseball cards and stuff and Garbage Pail Kids. You can buy, like, vintage Garbage Pail Kids and baseball cards on Amazon. Like, what's the vintage Transformers game like on Amazon, do you think? I mean, there has to be some stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've never come up with it in casual searches.
So I just did a search for G1 Astrotrine. I got the commemorative Astrotrine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, one more thing. Octopunch. Octopunch is top of mind. That's the Power of the Primes.
Power of the Primes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that wasn't as successful as I'd hoped.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, there's the Botcon Octopunch and Spinister set, though. Few of those. I want that. I need that Octopunch. I never picked it up.
The one with the ducks on his chest?
Yes.
Yeah. I have that.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Spinister.
Should have picked that up when I had the chance.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so many things.
So, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Hey! TFRD.net/Amazon.
I thought we were done with that.
Plug's not over.
Hasbro Pulse.
Yeah, TFRD.net/Amazon. Okay, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, we've got a couple of things. We've got a preview of a book coming out, Synergy, a Hasbro Creators Showcase, which is about women who have worked on the various Hasbro properties, and it's going to have Margaret Scott and Sarah Peter Durocher back together on a short comic in here. Nice. So, yeah.
And I have to say, I don't know whether it was just them wanting to throw a unique buzzword in, but they picked the name Synergy. From Jim.
Well, I mean,
so you know, I'm wondering.
Jim and the Holograms covers right there, color characters right there on the cover, Don. So,
oh, hang on, I must have missed. I thought I saw a different picture. Sorry,
because there's been a, I think so, but yeah, there's. I mean, they're from the IDW Jim comic that's been running for a while now. So yeah.
So I think this go ahead, Don.
I'm sorry. Okay, I saw something different about this. This is the first time I've seen that cover.
Gotcha.
I saw something different. Okay.
So this is focusing on people who worked on, like, the comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. What I would really like is a the Toys That Made Us style look on the people who actually worked at Hasbro and focus on, you know, like, the women who worked at Hasbro on the product.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, you may be saddened to find out there's not that many, which would be, you know, unfortunate. But I would, not that this isn't cool, because this is definitely cool. But, you know, I'm more interested in the, you know, the nuts and bolts of how things happen.
Yeah, I can understand
that. That's where my mind went. Sorry.
No, I don't blame you. That I would honestly not mind both. So, but the other thing we have up is a preview of the Bumblebee Sector 7 Adventures comic that is going to be apparently coming with the physical releases of the movie as of, like, yesterday.
Yeah, it comes out April 2nd.
That sounds right.
Yeah, the digital's out now. TFRadio.net/BBMovie, by the way. I have the 4K version pre-ordered. And, hey, Matt, have you got a 4K TV and Blu-ray player? Well, I saw that you got the 4K version of Spider-Man.
I don't have the 4K TV yet.
Oh.
That's waiting. That's down the road.
Okay.
It's at TFCon.
After TFCon. When at all possible, I try to buy the 4K version alongside, you know, the 4K version if I can get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was future-proofing my purchase. Basically.
But Into the Spider-Verse is so great. I just wanted to share that.
Yes, it's terrible.
Oh, diecast! Don't make me.
The hell is wrong with you?
What have you lost?
I just didn't like the visual style of the movie.
He didn't. He didn't like Into the Spider-Verse, and he wants more Michael Bay back in his Transformers movie.
He also
liked the Machinima series.
The story was fine. It was just way too busy, the whole movie.
Kim had a problem with the visual style as well. It gave her a headache watching it. So
yeah, well, gotcha. Okay. I could follow Into the Spider-Verse on what was going on the screen. Half the Bay movies, I didn't even know what the hell was going on until after it happened.
Yeah.
Have you tried to watch them since you've gotten your new eyeballs done?
It would just be worse because you'd see more of the details that make it so confusing.
What was the first? Yeah. What was the first Bay movie that was watchable? Dark of the Moon.
I'll let you know when it happens.
I mean, I will be honest. Dark of the Moon. I was able to actually see the action sequences better because I think they had slowed it down.
When they added that little bit, they added color in Revenge of the Fallen. But they added more in Dark of the Moon. Yeah.
Well, it's like Revenge of the Fallen. The forest scene.
It's so horrible.
I didn't see Prime get stabbed until after
it's
he got
so
stabbed.
So horrible. It's so bad.
So I mean, Dark of the Moon, I think, actually takes a step backward in the color theory because there's all of those generic Decepticon robots that pop up, and they're all just these gray masses of points.
Yeah.
Like, there's no effort to make any of them stand out or differentiate them in any way. Like, I know they're background filler, basically, but they still just kind of turn into this mass of knives.
They could have been differently colored background.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Get the show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/614. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. We're on YouTube somewhere. Just search for Radio Free Cybertron.
We're on YouTube, possibly where you're watching us right now.
Could be. We're on Twitch. Hopefully you're watching us on our Roku channel, tfradio.net/Roku, if you have a Roku.
Not on Roku right now.
We're not watching live. I mean,
we can't stream live to Roku.
We That's could, it's just ridiculously expensive.
tfradio.net/Amazon.
If they're watching this recorded, like most people are going to who watch it, maybe they're watching it on Roku. But if you're not tfradio.net/Roku, just click the button, log into your Roku account, click the button, it'll add it, and you can watch us there.
If you are watching us on Roku, that's awesome. And yeah. You should tweet at us that you're watching us on Roku.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point it'd be nice if we were on Fire TV as well. I'm trying to figure that out. Roku is easier. But yeah, tfradio.net/Roku. I'm on Twitter at BKilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Rob Springer, of course, is at RoboRob Springer and zonebase.org. John DeLuna's not here. He's at John D. Jason's not here. He's at Jason S. Kirk on Twitter. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
I would suggest going to playwithphotography.com because this week I have a gallery for Six Gun where you can find different fun ways I found to equip the newest weaponizer onto the other toys. And also how to combine Six Gun and Cog as a super robot, which ended up looking better than I expected, which I would hope it would since I spent about an hour figuring out the right way to do that. I've also got a quick post up explaining a fast, easy fix for Ironhide's loose leg panels, and it doesn't take much work to do, but it can help the toy out a whole lot. Once you're done there, though, you can follow me on Twitter at PlayWithPhotos and PlayWithPhotography on Instagram for, you know, random fun photos I tweet out or... What's the verb for Instagram?
Share
to Instagram. Some of them end up being previews for galleries I end up posting too.
Nice.
If you like the work I do, you can show your support by going to patreon.com/playwithphotos and contributing as little as $2 per month. Every little bit helps make more content. Finally, I'm personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. Follow if you dare. And buy stuff from me. By the time you hear the podcast episode version of this or the Roku channel version or what have you, I should have a new sales thread posted. So you'll definitely want to take a look at that and give me money.
So when you guys stop doing figure reviewers, you know, I was a little sad about that. But I'm glad to see that you're personally doing the play with photography. I just really love seeing your stuff.
Yeah, I like having a space where I can collect the stuff easily and just kind of like do whatever strikes my fancy at the moment.
Yeah.
Of course, then there ends up being a lot of Transformers stuff that ends up taking precedence over, you know, random other stuff I want to do. Like, I've got a bunch of the Playmates Star Trek figures laying around that I've been buying over the last couple of years from, you know, flea markets around Hey Mickey and the comic book stores around Nashville. I'd like to start working on that too, but then, you know, a Transformers thing pops up and it's like, oh, I should probably do something with that first.
Yeah, but the cool thing is, like,
I mean, like, as far as I have a runabout. I bought a runabout Playmates runabout toy, and I have not had any chance to really do anything with that because Transformers keep coming up. Damn it.
But Transformers, it's such a visual thing, and I think it works so great on social media, so no doubt here in a year you'll probably have a million followers. So
Yeah, I'm up to almost 200 on the Play With Photography Twitter, and I'm gaining ground pretty quick on Instagram, too, at least by my metric.
I wouldn't be surprised if you quickly surpassed your Twitter on Instagram. It's so much bigger.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that. Some of the last few photos I put up on the Instagram account ended up getting over 200 likes each.
So nice.
There's definitely traction to be gained there.
Stuff's so great. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can follow me on Taobao at Diecast2.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a Taobao thing you can follow?
Well, I don't know if someone who knows more about Taobao who can
I'm Googling that right now.
Yeah, they might be able to talk to me somehow. But you can also talk to me on QQ, is it? I've got that too. I'm not sure how you get a hold of me.
What is that?
It's another Chinese chat
messaging thing.
Yeah. So there's QQ and there's at least one or two other ones that you can get me on, but I'm not exactly sure how. But you can also see my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews.
And I'm working on getting those on a Roku channel. I've got the placeholder up for it. I thought the videos were actually there, but I got the setting wrong. So hopefully in a couple of days, all your reviews will be up there. So
nice.
So I just did a Google search for Diecast 2 and Taobao, and just time gets away from me. I lose track how long we've been doing things. Diecast has been doing his box of Taobao for at least 2 years at this point, and probably much longer than that, which is clear by looking in, you know, his office there. So
yeah, it's nuts.
It's nuts. That's awesome. Cool. Matt. No. Matt's a great follow on Twitter. I just want to say MELLLVARR. Yes.
There's a reason I don't promote my own Twitter.
Well, so it used to be my Twitter, so can I promote it?
I didn't even want it.
But he uses it.
Yes. I love that you're on Twitter, though. MELLLVARR. To learn more about Brexit, follow Don. Don, how do people...
Let me just clarify. I just asked that question because No. I'm not going to. I'm just saying,
Don, don't dig the hole.
It's nothing bad. It's just a question I asked for some clarification. That's all on something on a point I didn't understand. But you won't find any politically charged drama on my site.
I got so excited when I saw that tweet. I actually texted Rob Springer to check it out. I'm not even joking.
If JD was still with us, you would have been texting him about it too.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
All it was a question I thought of a while ago, and I thought I would ask. It's nothing politically charged.
No, it's not. I just loved it. I love that you went there, Don.
Okay. But anyway, I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR. I occasionally will post bad jokes, sales, threads, insightful comments on the world today, and that's pretty much it.
What account is that?
Don, I don't know. Don, you would be you wouldn't be proud of me. You'd be sad for me. So I've never seen Don get so mad as when Diecast would comment on Don's sale threads about how you can get some.
That's because you've never been in a car where Diecast and Don were sitting in the back seat together.
You've never seen
Don as mad as that.
Diecast has been posting on the internet like his trying to sell car number 7, and I thought about, you know, just chiming in and pulling a Diecast on Diecast.
I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah, but I couldn't do it, but I really wanted to. But I didn't want to make Diecast mad at me because I need Diecast to be good with me. Don't want him mad. So it was just funny. Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. I inherited that one after the site went down. And Flail Throughs. And Flail Throughs is also the name of my YouTube channel where I cover Gundam Battle Operation 2. The weekly update is every Thursday. And I've got a really good gameplay video going up tomorrow as well. And one of the best rounds I have played in forever. And nice. If you like what I do on YouTube, I have a Patreon at patreon.com/flailthroughs. And for a couple of bucks a month, you can request a specific mobile suit and or color combination, and I will try and show it off in the game.
Cool.
How much granular control is there over those color combinations?
There's a lot, but not as much as Gundam Breaker had, which was really just amazing for that, because you, like, Battle Operation 2 may have more overall positions to change the color, but they are linked to the entire mobile suit, and you could do it on a piece-by-piece basis in Breaker.
Oh.
So, I mean, New Gundam Breaker, when it gets super cheap, now that you have a PS4, it's... if you can get it for less than $10, give it a try, because it's not... Like, the customization is still fun, but...
But it, nothing else is.
Sadly, no. I recommend, if Gundam Breaker as a concept sounds appealing to you, there is an English-Asian version of Gundam Breaker 3. It is excellent. Find it.
Yeah, I saw there's an English dub of Build Divers, and I'm thinking, let's make
it. I skimmed through a couple episodes of that last night, and I found the voice casting to actually be quite good.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's wonderful that they used it on the worst show of the three.
Well, that kind of falls in line with...
Go ahead.
That kind of falls in line with New Gundam Breaker being the one to get a U.S. release. You know, it's the one after the show they should have done, or in this case, two shows after the one they should have done.
I looked at a couple episodes of the previous Build series, and I did not really like the voice casting for the most part in those. So
no, it ain't no Tamer. Oh well, let me tell you that.
But I also didn't hate Build Divers that much, like you seem to, and some others.
Yeah, it's...
I don't hate it. It just never grabbed me. The first one I really enjoyed. The second one was a little too high school, and then this was just not doing it for me.
Cool. Okay. I'm reading my Twitter here.
And this has been Rob Derails the Show for Gundam this week.
No, it's great.
I mean, you have to give Build Divers some credit in that one of the recurring major characters is literally a ferret man.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, yes, that was
great. And his name is Rommel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Cool. Okay, we'll be back next week. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?